Today on Real Radio.
And isn't it amazing, 2,000 years ago, Jesus looked to his disciples and the Jewish people, even to this hour, you must know Daniel. Isn't that cool? Isn't it great that the Son of God, the Word of God, pointed the people of God to the Old Testament Word of God?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. Israel's Messiah explained a lot of things using parables like sin, eternal life, being prepared for death, and the list goes on. Well, now we're taking a look at a section in Matthew's gospel that addresses the end times and the events that happen during that age. By the way, the time in which we live right now. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable of the Fig Tree.
Europe. And I forget who it is. You can look it up online. There's a European leader of a European nation who said, literally said, we need someone to deliver us from war and from economic peril. It doesn't matter to us if it's the devil or God. We need a leader. Well, listen, that's the choices you have. And Jesus, 2,000 years ago, warns regarding the last days or the end time events. Now, you're still probably wondering, I don't like this teaching so far because you haven't got to the fun parable part yet. Even when I get to it, I got to be honest and true to the scripture and go right past it. I'll point it out and we'll go right past the drain hole, the centrality of it. We're heading toward it right now. And then we're going to hit it and then we're going to go beyond it because it's so important. It's so vitally important. Verse 24, for false Christs and false prophets will arise. They will, my friends, arise and show great signs and wonders so as to deceive, thank God, if possible, even the elect. Will you circle the word if? Hallelujah. Do you know what that means? It means that the deceivers are going to be so powerful with their signs and wonders. You guys, look at me. Are you listening? You're so quiet. You're listening. Listen. Imagine somebody who you've come out to hear speak, and you've heard stuff, and there's rumors and all this stuff. Oh, man, there's miracles. This guy does miracles. Come on, man. And I could go for a miracle. I mean, my leg's hurting me. I got a headache. Or how about I'm blind? Whatever the need is. And think about it. The bigger the need, the more desperate you are, correct? And the guy is saying, well, you've heard about Jesus, haven't you? Or you've heard about, you know, Rajneesh or Bhagwan. You've heard about the Lord Maitreya. You've heard about these enlightened ones. I'm the guy. I come in the spirit of all those guys. And to prove it, let me pray for you. And can you imagine right now, if we were sitting here, that people who were blind, their eyes would be open. What would you do? What if your child is sitting next to you and your child is blind and the person, your baby's eyes are opened at this person's word? What would you do? All of a sudden, it's personal, isn't it? How bad do you want your child to see? So bad that you'll go for the, listen, you'll tolerate or ignore the doctrine because you saw the sign and the wonder. All of a sudden, we're real quiet in here because if you have a great need, if your son is dying or dead, and this guy throws his body on your dead son that's been dead for an hour and a half, and he says, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And your son jumps up. What are you going to do? You see? What would you do? It's coming, church. Jesus promised it's coming. What would you do? You're going to have to decide between this or what you just saw. And if we're not reading this, you're going down. If you're not reading this, you're going to fall for lesser signs and wonders. The only hope of you enduring to the end is to know this book. And Jesus says, watch out. Listen, Moses did miracles, and so did Pharaoh's magicians. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, you're going to see more and more fantastic miracles by false prophets and false teachers. And thank God, look, it says, if possible, the very elect would be deceived. You know what that means? It means it's impossible for the elect to be deceived. It means this, though. The miracles are going to be so persuasive and so powerful that the only way you will not be deceived by them is if you are one of God's kids. And by the way, I'll be specific. Miracles are going to, and these false miracles and these signs are going to increase as we get into the deeper into the last days. But the context is the days leading up to and the days of the tribulation period. Keep that in mind. You need to remember that. Verse 25, see, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he, the Messiah, is in the inner rooms, Brooklyn, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. This is awesome. Please circle that, my friends. This is not referring to the rapture. This is referring to a global appearance of the Messiah in the second coming. We'll read in another place, every eye will see him coming. We know from the book of Revelation that when this is fulfilled, people on earth will weep and they'll be terrified at the coming of the Son of God, the Son of Man. This is not a rapture in the atmosphere where Jesus calls his people to him and then he goes back with them. This is his second coming. All of a sudden now, Bible students, mark this down in your margins or in your notes. Jesus is speaking as he looks over the Temple Mount of Jerusalem, looking at the temple, he announces to his disciples, the temple's going down. Not one stone's going to be left upon another. You're going to need to flee from Judea, and you're going to need to run for your life. And you better pray that you're not hindered in any way, because it's coming. Oh, and by the way, as we get closer to the end, things are going to increase. There's going to be earthquakes, but there'll be more of them. There's going to be famines, but there's going to be more and more and more famines. There's going to be pestilence, plagues and diseases, incurable viruses, but they're going to get bigger and more devastating as time goes on. Jesus is saying this is going to happen. It's always been, but it's going to get so big and so grand. One part of the Gospels tell us that people's hearts will fail them for fear as they see these things happening on earth. Boom, 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 boom. Absolutely awesome. There's nothing secret about lightning coming out of the east and flashing under the west, is there? Verse 28, for wherever the carcass is, there the eagles or vultures will be gathered together. Now watch this. Verse 29, are you guys okay? Immediately after the tribulation of those days, what does it say? Mark it. Immediately, what? After the tribulation of those days. At the end of the 7-year tribulation period, what's going to happen? It says the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Wow. Okay, now, let me add this, because you have asked me, you're going to ask me tonight, and I'm not going to answer everybody separately. I'll answer you all at once. I said, Pastor, you didn't talk anything at all about the red blood moon. Why didn't you? Why didn't you talk about it? I couldn't talk about it. It's a real, and there are going to be 3 more happening. Did you get up, by the way, if you're so interested in it? Did you get up and watch it? I did. It's beautiful. It's awesome. It wasn't red, though. It was brown. But anyway, that was disappointing. It was brown, the brown moon. But here's the deal. Some people say that, no, something cataclysmic has happened throughout history when these things happen. It's not exactly true. Because, listen, when my God does something, it's extremely detailed. Very exact. And some of the dates that are used to justify the red blood moons, they're not even the right dates of the events, or they're too vague. That's why I couldn't mention it. I disappointed some people by not mentioning it. When was the first one? April 15th, right? Tax day? When you look at people who argue that these are biblically significant events, astronomical events in the sky, you need to pay attention to these things. And then the verses that they used, here's the problem. They're all verses used for the tribulation period. Not today. My friends, you're going to have eclipses, and you're going to have blood moons, and you're going to have earthquakes, and you're going to have stuff. All that stuff should do for us is remind us someday. Listen, honestly, listen to me carefully. Someday, far from now, the Lord will come back in the second coming and establish his kingdom. But the rapture could happen any second now. Do you know that? You better know the difference between those two events. This is very important. The rapture could happen any second without a warning. There's no warning given in the Bible regarding the rapture. It is for God's people only. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, God's people are gone. The second coming has massive prophecies that must be fulfilled before Jesus can return to the Mount of Olives from where he left. Literally, in Scripture. This should not be confusing if you read your Bible. So the blood moon things, listen, here's one more thing in the blood moons and then we'll be off. Listen. But because these things are happening, and we as Christians are suckers for this, we better be very careful, because here's, look, we had a blood moon on April 15th. And don't you know that if we have an earthquake tonight that's big enough somewhere in the world, or if it's in Israel, it must be from the blood moon. It must have been a blood moon event. Are you with me? If something happens significant in Israel, then it must be a blood moon event. Christians don't ever, this is why the world won't listen to us. They think we're lunatics. Because we try to make Bible, I don't say you do, I'm saying collectively Christians, are so excited about the Bible, and they're grasping for things often to try to make the Bible come true. Oh my goodness! Whoa, slow down. Because listen, people in World War I thought that the second coming of Christ was imminent. So did the people in World War II. Did you know that? And if there's a third world war, you know, there could be five more world wars. We don't know. It doesn't say. You're going to believe the end is near too. It's the way that we think as humans. But be careful. Judge everything like this. I should hold it like this. Judge everything like this. Let everything coming into your eyes be filtered by the word of God. Okay, so listen, if something significant happens in these next 16 months or 18 months, whatever the time frame is, I forget, of the blood moons, everything's going to be attributed to the significance of the blood moons. And I think that's dangerous because my God deals in specifics. It'd be very, very clear when he does his thing. Like we're reading here. So I probably disappointed some of you, but I love you anyway. And then, verse 30, then the heavens are shaking. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Not gray glory, but great glory. Great glory. Well, that's the second coming, so Greg Glory would be technically in that group with us. So, verse 31, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, a great sound of a trumpet. Don't confuse this with the rapture. The rapture is the trump of God. There are many trumpets in the Bible. Do I have your attention? This is so important. Do you ever want to know what us pastors talk about when we get together and talk sometimes? Just let's talk about Bible. This is one of those things. Is it a trumpet or is it the trumpet of God? The Bible's full of trumpets. Read your trumpets carefully, my friend. Know your trumpet. There is God's trumpet. It's interesting. Two times God's trumpet is used to gather Israel, his nation, and to gather the church, his bride. All the other trumpets are trumpets. Angels blowing trumpets. There's seven trumpets in the tribulation period blown. Joshua, they had, oh, everybody's got trumpets. Moses made two trumpets, two silver trumpets. Watch out. And so he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That is a reference to the globe. Literally is broken up into four winds or four sections. That's what that means. Verse 32. That was all introduction. And now here's the vortex. You see, now this is the, we've been heading toward it. And here's the column. Here's the drain, if it would be, the point. Now, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches has already become tender, that means it's come out of the winter, the branches have become supple, life is going to happen, you're going to see it in a moment, puts forth its leaves, you know that summer's near. It's obvious. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the very doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation, there's several interpretations of this. This generation, meaning those who see the last day's events, because the 7-year tribulation period is very quick. Is it them? It's possible. Some thought, because of nearness, many thought on May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation that day. So a generation which varies from 43 years to 70 to almost 80 years, that time frame is going to be significant. And so from May 14th, 1948, you count on, you have these different models, the Lord's going to come back on this day. And listen, there were books you could buy. Some guy had 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1988. Remember that? And he sold 1.5 million copies of the book. He made $3-some-odd million off the book. And he's still spending his money today. Why? Because Jesus didn't come back in 1988. In fact, Jesus says, no man knows the day or the hour. So if you think you know the day or the hour, we know it ain't going to be on that day. Because nobody knows the day or the hour. Whatever you view the generation, one of the interpretations I think is very safe. So you can pick one, but one of the interpretations is very safe. And that is the Jewish people. Because the word can mean race. And the world wants to exterminate the Jewish people. The Jews are hated more than any people group in the world. Because Satan hates them. And I think Jesus is saying that the Jewish race will not perish. It's possible that that's what he's saying. Will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled. Now that's interesting because, again, I mentioned earlier the preterist guys. Jesus says all these things have to be fulfilled, not some of them, all of them. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. You see, didn't Jesus know? Not while he was on earth, he didn't know. He chose not to know. Listen, this is cool. And you want to write it down. Jesus, what the Greek word is, kenosis, K-E-N-O-S-I-S, kenosis, is Jesus willingly laid down opportunities or tools. He was always God, but now he's God in human skin. But you know how the Bible says that Jesus grew in grace and knowledge before God and man? How could Jesus grow in knowledge? Because listen, he laid down certain things to learn like we had to learn so he would be able to associate with us and we would know that. Remember when Jesus said, Peter, put away your sword, you knucklehead. Don't go around cutting people up. Remember that in the garden? Peter, put away your sword. What did he say next? Peter, by the way, while he's scolding Peter, it's so awesome. Peter pulls out his knife, cuts off Malchus's, the assistant to the high priest, cuts off Malchus's ear. It falls on the ground. Jesus says, Peter, put away your sword. Don't you know? He's got the guy's ear and he puts the guy's ear back on his head. And he's probably looking at Peter, probably not even looking at the guy's head. Don't you know that I could call down 12 legions of angels to rescue me right now? What did he mean by that? Kenosis. I could, but I'm not. Isn't that interesting? While on earth, Jesus didn't know when he was coming back. You think he knows now? I think he knows now. And so, but my father only, verse 37, but of the days of Noah were also with the coming of the Son of Man be. So look, I know things are bad here in this state. We're seeing indications of it, but that's not it yet. Let me cheer you up. It's going to get much worse. Unless Jesus comes back tonight, then it's going to get much better. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, people are going to care less. Then, please mark this down. Two will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Mark this. Watch, verse 42. We'll talk about verses 40 and 41 in later studies. We'll come back to that, I promise. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. Verse 43. Know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would not have watched and not allowed his, or he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Verse 44, therefore, so watch, know, therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not expect him. So this is the introduction to this parable tonight. You've got the things leading up to him saying, this is the parable of the fig tree. Know it. Oh, and by the way, in the end days, it's going to be like this. All of it pulling events leading up to, we're living in the events leading up to, but you and I are in an amazing time. We're living at a time where we have now passed 2,000 years of history are behind us. Has there been church persecution? Yes. But Jesus says it's going to increase in the lives of the believers. It's increasing. It's increasing. Jesus also says in Matthew 24, 15, you won't get it. None of you will understand it unless you know the book of Daniel. He says it in verse 15. This is awesome. Is this not awesome? Jesus is saying, know your Bible. It's the only way you're going to survive. If you don't, there's a warning. I am pleading, begging, exhorting you. Read the book of Daniel, specifically chapter 9, because there's a reason why it's referred to or known among eschatologists, students of Bible prophecy, the future writings of the Bible, that Daniel chapter 9 is the holy of holies when it comes to understanding all Bible prophecy. And isn't it amazing, 2,000 years ago, Jesus looked to his disciples and the Jewish people, even to this hour, you must know Daniel. Isn't that cool? Isn't it great that the Son of God, the Word of God, pointed the people of God to the Old Testament Word of God?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Fig Tree. It's a look at a section in Matthew's gospel that addresses the events that happen in the end times. The parable of the fig tree is actually a part of Pastor Jack's collection of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now don't forget, this series called The Parables of Jesus is available on MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Now, if you enjoyed and benefited from this collection of lessons, The Parables of Jesus, and you want to hear them again from the beginning, they're yours on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Simply visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you'll know exactly what to do. It's real easy. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, should you need it, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.